welcome to Growing From This Place. We know what week it is. It is Holy Week. We're excited about this opportunity. I just am decreeing and declaring that this is the week of defeat, which the enemy knows that he has already had been destroyed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to be able to say to you tonight, thank you for tuning in. We've been having an amazing week of concentration. We've been having an amazing week of fasting and praying, and praying for our country, praying for your family, praying for our families, praying for safety, praying for protection, praying for covering, praying for a resolution, praying for answers, praying for peace, praying for victory, which we already have, but we want it to be manifested. And I just want to tell you that hopefully this week has been blessed for you, and just knowing that God is in total control of every situation in our lives. And this truly is an opportunity for us to be able to show God that we truly love him, that we trust him, and that we're simply going to grow from this place. I'm excited about this opportunity to be able to share with you on tonight. We know that our week is somewhat different. I was thinking about today. It's one of the first times I think ever in my life that I'm probably just going to basking in God's presence in the dwelling of our own home. And we're definitely going to be doing Facebook Live, and also we're going to be doing YouTube Live, and just want to be able to let you know that we just want you to be safe. We want you to be wise. We want you to be careful. We want you to know that God is in control of every situation in our life, but we're just glad that we have this opportunity to be able to be together on tonight, Holy Week, on this Thursday. We're just so grateful unto you. I want you to know this, that I believe that God is going to do great things. And while I'm thinking about it right now, I definitely want to be able to let you know tomorrow morning we're going to have a Good Friday 6 a.m. prayer. And we're also going to be doing one on Resurrection Sunday morning at 6 a.m. prayer. We're going to be doing it on Easter Sunday morning. And we want you to know that we're just excited about this opportunity. We're excited about what God is doing. And we're just grateful for him for being who he is. I was thinking about how this season seemed to be so fastly moving with the events that are happening in this world, with the events that are happening in society. We just have to make sure that we make it up in our mind that we're going to stay fast and stand fast in God, knowing that you are his child, knowing that he loves you, he cares for us, and we are to just be so grateful to know that God has called us to do so many things, and things are not over. We're believing that right now that it's going to get better, it's going to get bigger, it's going to be able to do what God wants us to do. And I want you to know that this is the season by which we are going to trust God. I want to be able to read something to you. And I'm just saying to myself, this is an amazing story. Every time I read it, it's just amazing to me how God looks out for us by way of his son. I want to say one thing before I read the scripture tonight, before I go further. I just want you to make it up in your mind that with everything in you, you're going to trust God, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like. I tell you, we now have to all grow from this place. I really believe with all my heart, with everything in me, everything in the depths of my soul, I just believe that this world will never be the same. I believe that we have to understand, and I had a gentleman, Caucasian gentleman, I was out trying to do something for some families just for a little while today, and it's a gentleman said something to me. He just said, it just will never be the same. He said, sir, just be safe. It will never be the same. And sometimes I really know, and I believe that sometimes they've been saying, on you know, the news they've been saying politically. We want to get the country back to being normal. I'm here to let you know something. This country will never be back to normal because there's something that we've lived in. And I'm believing God, there's something that we're going to all live through to where the country has suffered. The world has embarked upon something that we have never seen before. I was thinking about last night when I was looking, and even late last night, I think the death toll was around 88,000, something, 87,000. And already at 87 has gone to close to 95. And I'm looking at this. I never thought 3 or 4 weeks ago when we were saying, you know, in the United States, oh, it's just 700 people or so that have passed. And now that 7 has gone to almost 17,000. And I want you to understand something that we're looking at right now. We're looking on Holy Week, which is the week of defeat for the enemy. We're looking that we got to truly count on the true and living God. And I want to read something to you about some events. I want to be able to deal with some of the things that happened on the Thursday of Holy Week. I want to go to Matthew 26, and I might begin reading from verse 17. On the first day of the festival of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus. I want you to listen to this. And asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When the evening came, Jesus was reclining, looking his position, at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, 'Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me.' They were very sad and began to say to him, one after the other, 'Surely you don't mean me, Lord.' Jesus replied, 'The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. Son of Man will go as it is written about him, but woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It will be better for him if he had not been born.' Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, 'Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi.' Jesus answered, 'You have said so.' And while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat. This is my body.' He said in verse 28, 'This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out of mine for many for the life of the forgiveness of sin. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" I want to be able to say, God, we want you to bless this teaching for the next few moments, and we want you to know that we love you, and we want you to bless every heart and mind, bless our country, bless our nation, and bless our world. And God, I pray now that it is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk to you for a few moments tonight. I'm going to try to be able to do this by our normal time. When purpose and pain are the passport to your anointing, the thought comes now, the process is greater than the pain. The process is greater than the pain. The process is greater than the pain. So many times when we go through life, it appears that when we go through life and circumstances around us, it is somewhat disheartening. It is somewhat unbelievable at times. I don't know if you've ever been there, but there's been times in my life when you were just blindsided by pain, unexpected pain, blindsided by a situation that it seems like, my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. My God, I don't know how it's going to change. And when I think about Holy Week, when I think about the pain of Jesus, when I think about people who follow him, people who he called out of normality, people who he took care of, people who he fed, people who he cared for their families, people who saw him do miracles, saw the toil of his life, and saw the fact that still he denied himself, but told them, if you're going to follow me, you have to do what I've done. I think sometimes people never really think about the fact that Jesus denied himself. He denied himself because he was at the right hand of the Father. Honestly, if I'm honest with you, I don't know if I would have left heaven next to God. No more pain, no more sorrow, the rejoicing of saints, an angelic choir. But there was something about the desire of the Father to where the Father wanted to have fellowship with his children. He didn't want his heaven to be just from the principle of what was created. Satan had been kicked out of heaven, and now there was a void. And the void was that God wanted a relationship with his children, meaning you and me and so many of us. Well, there was a problem because there was no one who had the type of body or the type of life that was able to be able to offer as a sacrifice. And Jesus acts, as you know the story, the Immaculate Conception of Mary, and I'm skipping really quickly, and all the things that happened to the time to where born in the manger, now 30 years moving forward into his ministry, 3+ years of ministry, something's coming to an end. Jesus began to come to the ultimate sacrifice, and it's amazing that the process of what Jesus went through. Jesus was an amazing, amazing force of divinity. He was God in man, but he was man and was God at the same time. And sometimes when I think about this, he just has to wear so many hats. He had to be the son of Mary, the stepson of Joseph. He had to be the son to God the Father. He had to be the leader and the shepherd among many that was lost. He had to deal with the association of people doubting him, Pharisees trying to assassinate him, scribes always taking notes against him, trying to make him feel every little thing he ever done, they was writing it down, always trying to catch him in something, always looking for faults, and the process had to end up being painful. Getting down to the part of this story now to where the reality is really so gruesome because Jesus is having his last supper, his last time that he was going to sit down and eat with his disciples. And in the midst of it, Jesus, so calmly as they're eating, he reclines. The Bible says in Matthew, when the evening was, because Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, one of you are going to betray me. Now, if you already know that I think it was that Tuesday, Judas had already tried to negotiate and had negotiated a deal to betray Jesus. And he comes back in the presence of Jesus with the spirit of deceit, having already known that he had betrayed Jesus. And it had to be painful. Already Judas had said when Mary brought her alabaster box and began to anoint the feet of Jesus, said it was a waste. It was a waste, not knowing that it was actually preparation for the death and the burial of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. why are you talking like this tonight, Pastor? Just stick with me for a moment. I really do know where I'm going. And sometimes when you go through life, you can go through all the correct things. You can be good to people. You can do your best. You can give, and they can see God use you, and they can see God do things in your life, but it won't stop them from betrayal. I want to talk to you about the different twist of betrayal. He said, one of you are going to betray me. Here's the problem that challenges me in the text that really believes that Judas carried it out, but others were still a little questionable. And I get that from when Jesus said, one of you are going to betray me. Bible says they were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, surely you don't mean me, Lord. Surely you don't mean me, Lord. Not, I know it's not the Lord. Not, it can't be me, Lord. Not, there's no way it's me, God. Jesus replied to them, the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to the man that betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Judas, the one who had betrayed him, said, surely you don't mean me, Rabbi. Jesus answered and said, you have said so. This is where I stop. The process is greater than the pain. I don't believe that there's an individual on this phone who has not been hurt by somebody or something. And unless you've been in social distancing all your life, 9 times out of 10, you have been betrayed. I know I have at some of the highest levels, at some of the greatest levels, I've gone through betrayal. And it's okay now. But my God, it was painful. But I found out this, that God will sometimes allow people to move in certain ways, and they have no idea that they're not betraying you, they're betraying themselves. Because at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, let's look at what Judas betrayed. Judas betrayed his salvation. Judas betrayed his deliverance. Judas betrayed his healer. Judas betrayed eternal life. Judas betrayed his peace. Judas, not the devil, Judas betrayed, because betrayal is a decision that might be suggested, but you have to carry it out. Now, where's the process, Pastor? Some things were necessary for God to get the glory. It was painful, but the pain is not greater than the process. See, when God begins to take you through processes in life, it will be painful. I want you to know all pain will not be prayed away right away. Sometimes it's a process to be healed. Sometimes the Lord allows us to feel that brokenness so we can come to Him. There's really a purpose in the pain. There's a purpose in that pain, and sometimes God will allow you to go through certain seasons and certain times and certain moments so you can fully understand that there's a reason for this. So in one text, the Bible says that Judas didn't just talk to him. He kissed him. He had an act of endearment with the undertone of motive, having already sold Jesus out. And while Jesus finished the Lord's Supper, he had told Judas, "What thou doest, do it quickly. Hurry up and finish your plan so God can hurry up and finish his." He looks at him and says, "What thou doest, I want you to do it quickly." In other words, I already know that this is part of the process. He goes and goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and probably announced. He told his inner circle, "Could y'all not just come? I'm going to the Garden of Gethsemane," probably knowing that Judas was listening, knowing that he was there, already had schemed and planned to turn Jesus over to the Roman soldiers. And here comes now Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's asking his friends to pray with him. He looks at them, and they are asleep. Another process. When you're counting on somebody to help pray you through, "I just left betrayal, and now this is my toughest season of life, and now I got to deal with who I thought would be able to pray with me," and they are now asleep. Jesus goes and wakes them up, and then they fall asleep again. He looks at them after the third, "Could you not watch with me but an hour? All the hours I poured in." So many times, you know, I say this, and I say this often. And one thing as a child I always tried to do with my mom growing up, my mom, a major awesome cook. And so many times she would just cook these awesome meals. And I felt as though sometimes we can get used to people being good to us. But one thing I try to always do is, "Mom, you know, thank you for the meal. Let me help you wash the dishes. Let me do something to act as if though I appreciate the sacrifice by which you've given unto me." Now, I want to say this. Sometimes in life, you can feel taken for granted. They fell asleep on Jesus. How do you fall asleep on Jesus? He looks at them finally and says, "You know what? It's part of the process. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I'm glad you showed up, but you didn't come through." So now his prayer intercessors, his inner circles, his ace boom coon, his ride or die done fainted. What you do when your ride or die done fainted on you, and who you were counting on to walk all the way with you is not walking with you. Then you go, and Jesus now is rushed. He is gang rushed, and Judas, the person by which had the assignment to betray him, comes to his location, and then Peter wakes up. Now, he had been asleep, but when it was time to fight a little bit, Peter wakes up. He pulls out his knife and cuts off the high priest's servant. Jesus said, No. Don't fight the process. Lord, have mercy. Don't fight the process. He called the high priest servant here. He puts his ear back. He said, "Look, what you need to understand is don't fight the process. You don't recognize what God is doing. Just go ahead on and go through the process. Just go ahead on. It's painful." They whipped him, but they didn't understand that whipping him was actually healing us. See, one thing I found out about the enemy, sometimes it makes him feel like he's winning, but he's actually losing, because the devil don't have a clue what the undercurrent plan that God has for your life. So many people might be treating you a certain way, or underestimating your comeback, or not really understanding what God has planned for you. But this one thing I know, I will not be on this phone and tell you the stripes did not hurt. I will not be on this phone and tell you the betrayal did not hurt. Just because he recognized it, it did not mean that it was not painful or didn't hurt. It probably was disappointing. My God, you in the middle of a situation and your pastor done fell asleep. Your sister has fallen asleep. Your best friend has fallen asleep. Your bestie done fell asleep. And now it's just you and God. There will be a time in your life when you will have a season to where you got to get in that secret closet and you and God just got to work it out. You got to be able, and I'm telling you something, that's why I believe that we're in this season now, because so many of us are going through seasons of isolation. This is the test. This is the test for you and God to work it out, and understanding that this process, every person on this phone is in a process right now. Every person that's on this call is in a process right now. And to some degree, all of us are seeking and waiting on the process to conclude. But I go right now, they whipped him, they beat him. I'm not going to go all the way through it. They whipped him, they beat him. They had set up an illegal trial that overnight trial, skipped the process, was trying to execute them quickly. Watch situations now, because sometimes people have already planned certain things, but I want to let you know they don't even understand that it was all in the plan of God. Now, let me talk about you and me for a moment, because we understand, and we understand how the story ends. What looked like was defeat was actually your victory. What looked like defeat was actually your victory. When they did what they did to Jesus, they gave you victory. They gave me victory. Well, why are you talking to me tonight like this, Pastor McKnight? Because some of you right now, you've been through betrayal. You've been through a process. Friends, maybe family, maybe sickness, maybe financial hardship, maybe a bad marriage, maybe a divorce, maybe abuse. You've gone through something. Disappointment. What you do when now your dream is now like a nightmare. Some of you all 4 or 5 months ago, dream board was looking good. Starting the new year, like, oh, 2020, it's about to be on. And all excited. And then 90 days into this year, something happened, a process. And we don't know what God is doing, but we do know he's in control. I want you to know that I'm not trying to tell you it won't hurt. I'm not trying to tell you it won't affect you. But what I am trying to tell you is at the end of the day, God is in control of your situation. See, you can't let your pain remain. And when the one, you know, usually I give points to stay. Usually I give points to stay. The one point that I have for you tonight, and then I'm going to pray with you, is this. You refuse to pass on your pain to others because of your process. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something when God can trust you. When your hurt doesn't turn into hurting other people. When your hurt doesn't turn into hurting other people, God can use you. God can trust you. God can bless you. And God knows you will bring him glory. Personally, then I'm praying. There's so many things that happened in my life where I could have been angry and wanted to take vengeance in my own hand. But here's one thing I learned from my mentor, Bishop James E. McKnight, Sr. God before you. Really don't matter who's against you. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord, I will repay. And if you're going to be a great leader, son, sometimes you're going to have to learn how to not pass on your pain because of your process. It was your test. So therefore, don't you make it everybody else's test. Because if you make your test and shift the test to others, then when the blessing comes, you're going to have to share it. I'm getting ready to pray with you right now. We're going to believe God's going to do great things. God's going to do awesome things in your life. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for this being the week, the holy week of defeat. For the enemy is defeated and God is exalted. I want you to know, God, that you are great and you are worthy to be praised. Great is the Lord and greatly is he to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same sun, our Lord and our God is worthy to be praised. Tonight, we need you. Heal us of every form of brokenness. Heal us of every form of pain. Heal us of every form of shame. Heal our country. Heal our world. Heal our nation. Heal our families. Heal, God, our political gathering around, God. There's no time. It's time for unity. It's time for love. It's time to work together. I thank you right now, God, that we are trusting you. Our confidence is in you. Our help is in you. Our name need to be covered by your name. And God, right now, bring salvation, bring deliverance. Those people who are broken, those who are dealing with anxiety and stress, we cancel the spirit of suicide. We speak favor. We speak resources. We speak remedies. And we speak a blood covering over the nations and the world. Give us peace that surpasses all understanding. And we praise your holy name for who you are. Every person, God, that's pain, dealing with some form of pain, physical, emotional, psychological, spiritual, regret, abandonment, abuse, depression, oppression, sickness, disease, infirmity, financial disaster, whatever's causing some of the pain, I'm asking you, God, to heal the pain and take us to another level in you. We're grateful, we're thankful, and we love you tonight for what you're doing. We are going to grow from this place, and our lives will never be the same because of you. And we give your name praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to do some shout-out calls. I want to let you know, remind you in the morning, 6 a.m. Good Friday prayer call, www.prayerisamust.org. You're welcome to go to that website, and you can find all the information. Got callers here. Let me shout-out real quickly. Tampa, Florida, Lakeland, Florida, Fort Worth, Texas, Charlotte, North Carolina, Mobile, Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama, Troy, Michigan. All of these areas we're calling out. Just know we're praying for you. Gainesville, Florida, Miami, Florida. We got Greensboro, North Carolina, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Palm Coast, Florida. We got Brentwood, New York, New York. We're really, really praying for you guys, as we are everybody. But we know that we're just speaking over New York. That God will heal New York, New York, on the big city. We got Jackson, Mississippi. We got Macon, Georgia, Jacksonville, Florida, Raleigh, North Carolina, Tallahassee, Florida, Houston, Texas, Savannah, Georgia, Virginia Beach, Virginia, Columbus, Ohio, Baltimore, Maryland. Got people in Roanoke, Virginia, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Atlanta, GA, Germantown, Maryland, Jersey City, New Jersey, Newark, New Jersey. New Jersey, we're praying for you as well. Buffalo, New York, Rochester, New York, Elizabeth, New Jersey. We got Port St. Lucie. We got definitely Nassau, Bahamas, Freeport, Bahamas. We know that right now the Bahamas is really on lockdown right now. So we're praying for you all for protection for your entire island, as well as the U.S. Virgin Islands on this call tonight. We're praying for you and all over Central Florida. All over Central Florida, all six county area, we want to tell you we're praying for you. Thank you for tuning in. Remember this, don't pass on your pain. Don't pass on your pain because the process is going to get you the promise. I want you to have an amazing week, blood covering over you and your family. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Growing From This Place. This is Pastor Jonathan McKnight. God bless.
Thank you for calling into Growing From This Place with Jonathan L. McKnight. For special prayer requests, email us at growingfromhere@gmail.com. We look forward to you joining us every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Remember, you win. You've got God to carry you. Somebody.